After missing their scheduled adjournment Saturday afternoon, House and Senate budget conferees continued to work toward a compromise late into Saturday night and early Sunday morning, finally reaching an agreement by 1 a.m. The senior House Republican conferee, Delegate Kirk Cox of Colonial Heights, said setting aside reserve money had been a sticking point between the House and Senate.
We would have liked to have had a bigger reserve. We had a $165 million reserve in. A lot of people don't realize we're going to have a rainy day payment in 13. And so we were basically banking it for that. We ended up getting $50 million. I would like to have had more, but certainly much better in the Senate, $10 million. We certainly would have desired to have no fees. That was our goal. You don't always get everything you want. They had $323 million. We went in a goal with conference to make sure we stayed under 100, and we got rid of two or three particularly problematic ones. Property and casualty insurance, E9-111, we thought both of those. Property and casualty insurance, we thought had no nexus whatsoever for what they were trying to accomplish. The series of fees that we did approve, whether they be water pollution fees or mines and mineral resources or coal mining fees, basically for inspections and those types of things, they do have a tight nexus. You can argue that the service isn't totally paid for. And so I'm not thrilled about that, but to get a budget done, that's what had to happen.
Cox said that while many agencies have sustained cuts, some good was done for one area that has been underserviced in the past.
The House has had a big priority for the last 4 years, what we call ID waivers or MR waivers for the intellectually disabled. We just really feel like that there are a lot of wasteful programs in government. There are also some things government should be doing and making sure that we're providing those waiver slots, which are really services for those folks. We were able to get 250 new waiver slots in. That's something we'll get no press, but we thought that was very important.
Under the two-year budget, public education will sustain $250 million in cuts, Health and Human Resources will enact $360 million in reductions, and $850 million in cuts to payments into the Virginia retirement system, primarily for new hires. All of the proposed furloughs for state workers were eliminated, something the House members believed was too much to ask of employees who haven't received a pay raise in 3 years. The $47 million in cuts made to public safety when Governor Kaine introduced the budget in December were completely restored. Also included in the budget was a 15% reduction to funding for PBS. Delegate Cox explains.
I don't think it's necessarily an indictment on PBS. I think for us, when you're really struggling once again with MR waivers and core programs, there's a lot of stations out there today. I think the feeling was that as far as PBS funding goes, we cut the non-educational basically in a much higher level, obviously. We just felt like that with this very tough budget, that was an appropriate cut.
Governor McDonnell applauded the legislature's hard work in an especially trying session.
Far and away, I think this is the most difficult period of time in modern Virginia history with the budget crisis that we faced this year. No legislature has ever had to deal with a $4 billion deficit. No governor has ever sent down $2.3 billion in amendments. So it was an exceptional fiscal challenge that faced the legislature this year. But it's reflective, I think, of what Virginians understand that they're going through themselves with their businesses and their personal lives. And as they've had to make very, very difficult decisions about what their priorities are with their own resources, they expect government to do the same.
The House passed the budget on a 73-23 vote, and the Senate passed it on a vote of 34-6. After over $10 billion in cuts over the last 2.5 years, the state's operating budget is now just under $70 billion. The legislature will reconvene in 6 weeks to consider any amendments that the governor may have to any of the bills passed this session. It's also the designated time for the General Assembly to consider the override of any potential vetoes from the governor. Craig Carver, WCVE News, Capitol Square.